You're listening to a Homeboy 88 production.
You are now listening to Cage Combat with Chris Sands and Homeboy 88.
John Jones is in black. See what he hit.
No doubt.
Oh, he's got to try to circle his guy, but keep it right here.
He's put pressure.
Yeah, welcome everybody to another episode of Cage Combat. UFC 286 wrapped up yesterday. But first, I want to introduce, he's back, my John Anik, my Jim Lampley. Here he is, Mr. AMBS. What's up, brother? How's it going, dude?
Hey, man, I'll take those comparisons, especially Lampley. He was my favorite on the old HBO podcast, on the old HBO shows. But yes, it's me. It's Christopher Ams. That's AMBS, like Lambs with Noel or bullshit first thing in the morning. And man, I'm excited to talk about some shit that went down in the cage and some shit that's going to be going down in the cage coming up soon.
Hell yeah. And UFC 286 wrapped up last night. And what's funny is the last show we did was when Leon Edwards fucking head kick knockout. What is he saying now? Head kick dead. That's his phrase. Head kick dead. He killed Kamaru Usman with that fucking high left kick. And but last night, what'd you think about the fight last night, Chris?
Well, it was a lot more tentative. It was a lot more technical. It was two guys who I think have tasted each other's best, you know, like the first time they fought, Usman completely dominated the entire fight. Mm-hmm. And even the last time that they fought, you pretty much had to say it was 4-0 Usman going into round five. You know, famously, you can hear when you watch the highlight reels of the head kick KO, you can hear the commentary. They're talking about, you know, Leon Edwards, he's being too tentative. This yep. isn't like him, you know. Usman's really got him off his game. Like it was, he basically had dominated every minute of that fight until that head kick. And I expected him to – I really thought that he was going to dominate this fight too, but Leon Edwards came in with a much better game plan, and it was technical. You could call it boring, but it was effective.
Yeah, it was like – it was 4-1 on a lot of judges' scorecards and a lot of people saying that. So he came in with confidence. I think the last fight that we watched, the second one, I love the fucking the start of the fifth round. His trainers are going, "What the fuck are you doing, man? You're gonna lose this fight, man. Come on, Rocky. What are you doing? This is your chance." And I think that woke him up, and he got the KO. And this time around, I think he had so much confidence that he was like, "You know what? I'm not. Why am I gonna be afraid of this guy, Kamaru Usman? I'm a great fighter too. I'm the champion." And I think that's what happened last night. And he comes, comes with the W, man, retains the title. So good job, Rocky.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think it was also, you know, it's his hometown, right? They were in London, which is why the early start, which is why it was so hard for most of us to watch it here in North America.
Yep.
But you know, you're in your hometown, and the last time you fought a guy, you knocked him clean the fuck out. Yep. It's hard to go into that fight thinking, "Oh, this guy might dominate me," because at that point you're like, "I already know he's not Superman. I've already put him down."
Yep. And Justin Gaethje defeats Rafael Fiziev in a decision. You know what? Justin Gaethje in the post-fight press conference said he was bored. Do you believe that shit?
I mean,
fuck does he mean by that?
He was probably the only one. I mean, he got another bonus award for this fight, which made it what did I read? 11 total in his UFC career so far. I mean, holy shit! You talk about an all action fighter.
like I said, Justin Gaethje, man, this guy has an exciting fight every time he comes out, Chris. And, you know, I got to go back and watch the press conference because, you know, I think that, I don't know, should he go for the title? I mean, he lost against Khabib, but everybody's going to lose against Khabib. How would he do against Islam Makhachev? And if I were him, I'd fucking go train with Alexander Volkanovski and say, how did you get up, bro? Teach me that shit. Because I think if he gets up.
Yeah, well, and, yeah. I mean, but.
Yeah. I think if he were to get up, you know, off the canvas like Volkanovski did.
I think that Alex is a special fighter.
Yeah.
I think that Alex is a very special fighter. I mean, you can go and you can train with him. He can teach you some of maybe what, you know, what made him effective or whatever. But I don't know that you're ever going to be able to just go in there and, you know, replicate an Alex Volkanovski.
No, you can't. I mean, that's why he's the pound for pound king right now. You know, Volkanovski. And, you know,
I still think he is. And I think he won that fight too against Makhachev. Personally, I thought he won that fight.
Oh, yeah, so did I. I think that should have. You know what? It was in Australia. Of course. Look, there's been some decisions in the UFC where I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this should have gone to this guy. But on that one, they're going to get technical, Chris? Where they're actually in fucking Australia. He sells out the arena. He's the hometown guy. And that one, they're going to give it to the guy based on points. Get the fuck out of here, man. You know?
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I mean, if you look at the overall fight, again, like that's not how you judge in the UFC. You know, if it was Pride rules, Alexander Volkanovski would have won that fight unquestionably. Yep. Makhachev barely had dominant time on the top. When he did, he didn't do anything with it. There were no near submissions. There was nothing. There was no moments where you thought, oh, he's going to pound him out here. And then Volkanovski magically came back or anything. Basically, you know, Makhachev laid on him with every minute that he had in charge, and Volkanovski completely outstruck him on the feet. If it was pride rules, Volkanovski wins that fight walking away. But
yeah, in the fifth round, I watched it again, and hit him with an uppercut as Islam was shooting in. That's what dropped him, and that's when he got on top and he was pounding him out. That was fucking awesome. Yep. But if we're going to go back into fights, like the intro, I had it with the John Jones because originally we couldn't get together, but I wanted to go over the John Jones Ciryl Gane fight, Chris. So what do you think about Ciryl Gane's performance or lack thereof? You know, what the fuck?
It was, to be honest with you, it was kind of what I expected from Ciryl Gane. I don't dislike the guy on a personal level or anything, but he's French, so I think he's probably not a great fighter. just kidding. Sorry. Sorry, a little bit of my German came out just now. I apologize for that. but listen, like, he wasn't the heavyweight champion of the world. And as far as I'm concerned, John Jones isn't the heavyweight champion of the world. Now, I've said for years now that John Jones is the most physically gifted fighter I've ever seen in mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. He's so much above and beyond better than basically everyone he's ever been in the cage with that it's odd to watch him fight for the most part because he's so dominant against basically everybody that he fights. but also, John Jones has a history of not taking immediate rematches. He should have given Alexander Gustafsson an immediate rematch. He should have given, what was the Mexican-American kid's name? Rivera? Rivas? I can't remember. But, I mean,
Dominic Reyes?
You know, Dominic Reyes should have gotten an immediate rematch. And I know that Reyes is basically his career has gone to shit since he lost that fight, but that was a really close fight that should have warranted a rematch. You know, John Jones beat a guy who had been beaten by the guy who was the world champion. In my mind, that doesn't make you a world champion. I'm intrigued to see what happens, and I'm intrigued to see what happens going forward here with the next fight. But yeah. I mean, that guy's not the world champion either. That guy's the guy who lost to the world champion too. It's not like I know they can't just make Francis get in the cage, but you got to prove to me that you're the actual best in the world, not just by beating the last two guys the world champ beat.
As far as John Jones goes, I don't like him as a human being. Maybe he's changed, but he said that so many fucking times. As far as a fighter goes, I don't know if he's the greatest of all time, but he's up there, man. I can't deny it. It seemed to me in that fight, the Cyril Gane fight, that even before the fight, he's calling him the fucking GOAT. And all this praise for John Jones. Man, you cannot go in there against the guy giving them praise. You got to go in there as a killer, man. Could you imagine back in boxing days, Lennox Lewis, oh, Mike Tyson this, Mike. No, he went in there to knock his fucking head off. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You can't go into a fight saying the other guy's the greatest of all time. It doesn't work. And it looked like he didn't, like he gave him his neck. To be honest, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was a really bad performance. It was a Maginot line type performance. And those of you who are fans of history will understand the French connection there. but basically, yeah, he just, you know, this was not a good performance from the guy. And like you said, you know, in hockey, we call that pumping the other guy's tires when you talk him up and talk him up and talk him up. Mm-hmm. And it's not a good idea against, you could do that against certain fighters and it won't affect them, right? If you did that going in there against a guy like a Randy Couture, for instance, mm-hmm. it probably wouldn't affect his performance or your performance at all. But John Jones, the way that he fights is as a bully. He's a bully of a human being. Oh, yeah. So if you're going around pumping his tires and pumping his tires and pumping his tires, he's going to go into the fight with even more confidence. That's not what you want for the bully. You want to tell the bully, no, I'm going to punch you in the face and we're going to have a fucking dog fight.
And you think John Jones is going to be give you any respect? He's going to go in there and beat the shit out of you. That's the mentality. That's why he's good. He goes in there to finish guys or to hurt them. So anyways, man, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back, and we're going to discuss right off the bat three champions from Mexico, what is going on, and we're going to discuss should they have a pay-per-view in Mexico City, Chris. All right, we'll be right back.
John Jones is in black.
All right, Chris, we're going to talk about the three Mexican champions from Mexico. Alexa Grasso choked out Valentina Shevchenko. She's from Guadalajara. Is that where she's from?
Yep.
Yair Rodriguez from Parral, Chihuahua. And Brandon Moreno from Tijuana, man. So, finally, three champions from Mexico, which makes sense because, you know, in the boxing world, man, you got, you know, Chavez, you got Canelo, you got Eric Morales, you got a bunch of champions in combat sports. What do you think of this? Any comments, Chris?
I mean, listen, like as a guy who, you know, has been a huge fan of boxing for basically my whole adult life, Mexican fighters and the way that Mexican fighters fight has always been very reminiscent of, like, you know, I've joked before about where my family's from, but we're half German and half Irish, and Mexican fighters tend to fight very similar to Irish fighters. It's a lot of aggression, it's a lot of body attacks, hooks. There's a lot of, you know, okay, I'm bleeding, so fucking what, let's keep going. You know, really, like, Mexican fighters are sort of well known as you're going to have a tough fucking night, right? Like, it's the same thing as Philly fighters, right? You know, if you're fighting against somebody you don't know, but they're from Philadelphia, strap in, it's going to be a long fucking night. Same thing with most Mexican fighters. If you're fighting somebody you don't know anything about and you see they're from Tijuana or, you know, El Paso, just kidding. Yep. That's not in Mexico. but it might as well be. But yeah, I mean, if you see that you're fighting a Mexican fighter, strap in, cause it's going to be a long night. As far as those three fighters, they've all taken very different roads to the top. You know, Moreno looked like he was just going to go in there and lose again to Figueroa, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he's already lost to him. Figueroa's beat him twice. It was like a lot of people were sort of like, why is Brandon even getting this title shot? It doesn't make any sense. And he came away with the win. He did what Mexican fighters do. He stuck with it, and he eventually got through. I mean, that's what Mexican fighters tend to do, is stick with it and you get through. Grasso, she was pretty clearly losing that fight, but she locked in the rear naked choke at the right time in the right position and really squeezed the fuck out of that. I mean, if you've seen some of the highlights or some of the pictures of Valentina's face just afterwards, it looked like she had two different skin tones, because yeah. the bottom of her face was completely white from how tight that choke was.
I think she could have broke her jaw if she would have. I think that's why she tapped. She had it around her jaw. And that's yeah. why, like, there was white right there. And fuck, I don't want yeah. you to break my fucking jaw, bro. like that, you know?
Yeah. And I'd rather not have my jaw literally ripped off here.
And it was perfect because Valentina Shevchenko is a great fighter. She's like one of the greatest of all times. But she does that spinning back jump kick or whatever it's called. And she was waiting for it, man, you know? As soon as she did it, she jumped on her back. So,
oh yeah,
it was a mistake.
Yeah,
keep doing it over and over and over again, and you're gonna get caught. You know,
100%. Yeah, you spam a move in real life, it doesn't work yep. out that well in, you know, in real combat sports. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, fuck yeah, man, viva Mexico. I've always had a soft spot for Mexican fighters in boxing and now in MMA too. So I'm happy to see it.
No, he's not from Mexico. You know, there's a lot of Mexican fighters from the United States, but goddamn, there could be another champion coming soon. Henry Cejudo is going against Aljamain Sterling, and I think he's going to win, man. I don't think Aljo's going to win. Or what do you think, Chris?
I'm not putting any money on anybody who's fighting that little monster. Aljamain Sterling is a good fighter and everything, but Henry Cejudo is, I don't even know how to describe that man to people who don't watch him. He seems like he's this little guy, and you would just kind of laugh at him if you saw him in the street, and then he would beat your ass. It would be the most embarrassing yep. ass kicking you've ever taken in your life from such yep. a small dude, but he's just brilliant in the cage. I honestly, there's nobody that you could put him in the cage with right now who's even close to his weight that I'd put money on over him.
Yeah, that I'm waiting for that fight because he should win that fight. I mean, I like Aljo and everything, but honestly, I don't think he's like top tier, you know, like pound for, he's not near the pound for pound ranking. He's good. I'm not going to say he's not good. And he's the champion for a reason, but Henry should kick his ass. Like you said, like he is a little monster.
That's what I think's going to happen. Yeah.
He is a little monster. I mean, look who's taken out. He took out Dominic Cruz. What was it? TJ Dillashaw twice, I think.
Yep.
Did he beat up Cody Garbrandt? I can't remember. But nonetheless, man, he's run through a lot of fucking people. And double champ and Olympic champ. So that right there. Sure. Is he cringy? Yes, he's cringy. Is he a little bit of an asshole? A little bit. But you know what? I think he's going to be champion. Anyways, man, let's move on to some upcoming fights. And I want to know your opinion. So the Ultimate Fighter is going to come out. I don't know how I'm going to watch that, Chris, but I want to watch it. Because of Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler and them being the head coaches on Tough. What do you think about that fight, Conor versus Michael Chandler?
Well, I think we're going to see how much Conor McGregor has left of what he had, you know, in his prime, because prime Conor McGregor doesn't even shrug about Michael Chandler. And I like Michael Chandler. He's a good fighter and everything, but he's the kind of guy who stands up, he takes punches, he's open to get hit. He's not a guy who's going to come and just sprawl right to start the fight. He's too prideful for that. I mean, to me, he's a less talented version of Eddie Alvarez. So we're going to see how much Conor McGregor has left, because prime Conor McGregor walks through Michael Chandler. So I don't really want to say what I think is going to happen in this fight, because I don't know how much of Conor is left in Conor. But if he's got even 60% of what he had in his prime, he'll win this fight, and I think easily.
Well, Conor's a superstar, and no matter who he fights, it's going to be a huge, huge night and huge numbers for the pay-per-views. He's a fucking crossover star. And like you said, when he was in his prime, it was precision, it was timing. He had that fucking left, and I think he has a shot against Michael Chandler. I don't know. We'll see. Michael Chandler's a fucking bulldog. He kind of reminds me of Rick Steiner. You know how he was like short and stocky and a bulldog and a tough motherfucker?
Yeah,
that's Michael Chandler, man. And that little dude, yeah, he's lost. He's lost to Justin Gaethje and all that stuff. And Dustin Poirier. And sure, Conor lost again Dustin. But, man, I think Dustin without Khabib there is the champion. That guy right there is a bad motherfucker, man. He could beat anybody, and hopefully he can beat Islam, because that's, you know, Khabib's boy. I really like him. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, I kind of think that even with Khabib around, like, I think if Khabib's around, he's probably the champ. Yeah. But if I was going to say anyone had a chance to beat Khabib, it is Dustin. Probably Dustin. He's the guy who on any night could beat anyone.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. Okay.
Or he could lose by rear naked choke, one or the other.
Yeah, he was saying during that fight, I can't get him off him. After the fight, he said his fucking legs and his feet are like arms and hands. He just knows weight balance and weight distribution, and I couldn't get him off of me. So that's how good Khabib is on the ground. But anyways, Alex Pereira versus Israel Adesanya for the fucking fourth time. Israel Adesanya is the dude, right? He's like me, man. I don't like losing, okay, on video games and shit. So if you beat me a bunch of times, I'm still going to want to play, okay? I want to beat you at least once. That's this guy. What do you think about this fight, Alex Pereira, who's a fucking monster of a man at that weight class versus Israel, who's kind of skinny, man?
He's effectively a heavyweight, is Pereira. listen, man, sometimes a guy just has your number and there's nothing you can fucking do about it. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, listen, Paul Williamson was a much better boxer than Ricardo Mayorga. Mm-hmm. But they fought twice and Mayorga knocked him out both times. Some guys just have your number. There's nothing you can do about it.
Chavez versus Frankie, what was his name? Frankie Randall?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
He lost twice.
Very similar. Very similar.
He had his number, man.
And there's just nothing you can do. You put him in the ring 10 times. You put him in the ring 10 times and he's going to win 10 times, because they just – sometimes a guy just has your number. And that's how I feel about that's how I feel about Pereira in this fight. He has the number of this guy. And I think it's probably going to be very similar to the last fight, where Stylebender is going to come out. He's going to probably dominate for three rounds. And then eventually, I'm thinking probably fourth or fifth round, Pereira is going to catch him with something big. And that's going to be the end of the night.
And that guy's huge and he has a gas tank. He came out in the fifth round fresh as a daisy, man. Like, a big monster like that, he's fresh in the fifth round. He still has his power. How in the fuck? You got to really, like, be evasive. And Israel was, like, tired. So he slowed down. He just got caught, man. That could happen again and again and again and again. unless Israel catches him with something early, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, like my expectation is that Pereira is going to win this fight, but I have nothing but respect for Israel Adesanya saying, I fucking want it again. I want it. I want it. If he's going to kick my ass, then have him kick my fucking ass again, because I want this. You know, I'll tell you a story, right? Like, I've been trying for months now to pass this this physical course. It's basically an obstacle course for the CBSA for the border here in Canada. Mm-hmm. And homeboy, I failed this test 6 fucking times. And I just kept saying to myself, I'm getting better, though. I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer. And then this last week, I finally passed. And I passed by 4 fucking seconds, but I passed. I don't care. I get to finally say, I fucking passed. I won. But it took me 7 fucking tries. And, you know, Israel Adesanya doesn't have 7 fucking attempts. But I have nothing but the utmost respect for somebody who says, all right, I lost again, and I'm still going to fucking come at it. So good for him, but I expect Alex Pereira is going to finish him again.
That's going to be crazy. Anyways, the last UFC fight before I get to a boxing one is John Jones versus Stipe Miocic, man. Now, John Jones, like you said, is a bully. We said he's a great fighter. People call him the GOAT. But I'm sorry, guys. I went back and watched the Stipe versus Daniel Cormier fights, number 2, number 3. That guy's a bad motherfucker. And like you said, Francis Ngannou is the UFC champion because he fucking basically blanked Stipe in that last fight. It was ugly. So he's the champ, you know, in my eyes. But Stipe Miocic is no joke. And he's not calling John Jones the GOAT. He's saying, I'm going to beat his ass. And guess what? I'm putting my money on Stipe, motherfuckers. I am. I really am. I don't care.
I very much believe that the winner of that fight is going to be the first guy who really clips the other guy. Because they're both bullies. The way that they fight, they both bully people in the cage. And it's going to very much depend. I think if John hurts Stipe early, Stipe will not be able to recover. John Jones is one of the best finishers I've ever seen in combat sports. He is a Julio Cesar Chavez level finisher. If he's got you hurt, he's coming for your soul. And I got to say, it's a very similar story with Stipe Miocic. If he hurts you, you better recover now, because if you don't, he's about to take you out. So it's going to really depend on who lands the first big shot in that fight. I'm excited to see it, but keep in mind, Stipe Miocic is probably slightly past his best at this point, too.
Maybe. That's why we got to get Francis Ngannou. He's getting a little pissed off at what John Jones and Dana White saying that he was afraid to fight John Jones. He's not afraid to fight John Jones. Are you out of your mind?
He's afraid to give up hundreds of millions of dollars for the opportunity to box whoever the fuck. Deontay Wilder. Or Fury, or maybe Usyk, or whoever. He's going to make more money in one night than he ever did in his entire career with the UFC, or ever could if he continues with the UFC afterwards.
Here's my message to Francis Ngannou, and he doesn't have to listen to me. Who the fuck am I? Francis, go do your fight. You got to go back to the UFC, man. That's your legacy. That's who gave you a fucking shot. You got to go back and you got to fight John Jones. We all want to see it, man. We want to see what happens, especially if he beats Stipe. Then who in the fuck is John Jones going to fight? You know what I'm saying? Sure, he can fight Curtis Blaydes, and that's going to be a bad matchup for him because Curtis Blaydes is a great wrestler. But that's the fight we want to see. Anyways, let's move on. We're talking about fighters. Well, Chris brought up Tyson Fury and everything. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, holy shit, it's going down. Finally, a great boxing match, April 22nd, 2023, Ryan Garcia versus Gervonta Tank Davis. Chris, What the fuck? Are we in for a treat coming up, bro? Are we in for a treat, dude? Holy shit.
Yeah, this is a very exciting fight, and I just want to take the time now to personally thank Oscar De La Hoya, who, if you listen to him, single-handedly made this fight happen out of nowhere, and probably if you listen to him long enough, also gave birth to the both of these guys and invented boxing. So thank you to Oscar for just being, you know, the inventor of everything wonderful and the maker of all things great. So thanks, Oscar. But yeah, all jokes aside, and I mean, you can sort of tell I'm a Vargas fan, but
oh,
all
shit.
jokes aside, at the expense of Oscar, at the expense of Oscar, this is going to be a great fight. This is highly intriguing. This is two guys who you normally wouldn't see fight each other until they had both already made their whole careers. So I'm excited to see what happens. And I think either one of these guys has a real shot at winning the fight. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Do you think it's going to go 12 rounds? Because, man, Ryan Garcia, I don't care what anybody fucking says. He has a shot. That fucking left hook that he has, it's like dynamite for that little motherfucker, man. He hits hard. It's like a goddamn rubber band, man. He pulls it back and wham! Go look up Ryan Garcia knockouts on YouTube. That fucker knocks people out if he connects, okay? He also hit, what, who was it, Luke Campbell to the body?
Yep.
And knocked them out like that? He's also dropped other people with the straight right. He can box, man. The only thing is his defense, I mean, could get better, right? And against a guy like Tank, you don't want to have your hands down. You want to be solid defensively because if he's not, Tank also has power, and he's going to knock him out.
Yeah, you got to – you like, there's a reason why the man is named after a machine that basically can't be stopped. You know, that's Davis for you. He's just going to come forward throwing punches, and you know, he's a Joe Frazier type fighter. I'll let you land three so that I can land my one, but my one's going to put you on your ass. So yeah, I mean, I think Garcia is going to have to be very careful. I think that in order to win that fight, Garcia is going to have the match of his life. But I've seen people have the match of their lives on their biggest nights before. So he's going to have to be smart in there, but I think he's got a shot.
But you know what? I think it's going to be a fucking war, and that's good for the fans. It's good for boxing. And hopefully soon there's like other big fights for boxing because, hey, it's coming back a little bit, Chris. For a long time, nobody wanted to watch boxing, you know? But I think it's coming back.
I don't. Here's the thing. I don't know if it's fair to say nobody wanted to watch boxing.
Okay.
Like I live in Canada, right? So it's always been a little more difficult for me to watch the sport.
Right.
But for a while there, we had Showtime and HBO, and both of those networks showed boxing basically every other weekend or so. And I watched every single time boxing was on. I did not miss a fight. I didn't miss a single card from either one of those companies. And in the last 5 years, both of those companies have dropped their boxing. So it's been hard for people who got used to watching boxing a certain way to try to switch to this new thing where, oh, you have to have the DAZN app. And then you have to go through the DAZN app to get to the fight app so that you can order the pay-per-view through the DAZN, through the fight, through your pay-per-view provider, and et cetera, et cetera. It's been hard for a lot of boxing fans to sort of keep up with all of the changes that have gone on in the way that we watch the sport, right? But like for me, if you make boxing accessible, you're never going to have me go, oh, boxing's on? No, I've got something better to do. Never. If boxing's on, that's on my television.
I'm sure like boxing organizations don't want to make a lot of money, but is there a way to, how do I say this? Like throw it up. Remember Friday Night Fights on cable?
Yep.
That was
yep,
huge. That's how
Teddy
I watched.
Atlas.
That's why how I watched a lot of these fights. Great fights. But if they threw it up on YouTube and had like, you know, ads pay for it, I don't know. I'm not a businessman. That would be easy, right? Everybody watches YouTube, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
You'd think that you could monetize it in some kind of a way, because right now, you know, there are companies that own the rights to some of the biggest fights in the history of boxing that, as far as I can tell, simply aren't monetizing it at all. Like at all. There's no money coming from these places that own the rights to some of the biggest fights in history. And the only way a real boxing fan can get that historical overview is, like you said, you can go down the rabbit hole of YouTube, but those fights are up and they're down and they're posted and they're taken down and they're not, it's not a reliable format to watch boxing. So, I mean, I think just 6 months ago, I was looking online and I was very close to purchasing about $400 worth of DVDs so that I have them in my collection, you know, cause I've got a little collection of fights. Like I've got like a, I don't know, probably $500 worth of DVDs and VHS of fights that I've collected over the years. But you know, I want some of these old fights too. So, I mean, I think that whatever they're doing with boxing, I know that they're making lots of money, but I don't know how, because they don't seem to be monetizing it for the normal fan.
Right. Well, anyways, man, thanks for hopping on Cage Combat, Chris. We're going to come back, you know, maybe in a major event, like we say, after John Jones versus Stipe, to see what the fuck happened there. Would you come back for that, Chris?
I sure would, and if all else fails, we can just wait for the fourth fight between Rocky and Usman, and,
God damn it.
And do it after that.
Once a year, Cage Combat. No, man. Anyways, where can they find you at, Chris? Thanks for hopping on, brother. Where can
no
they
problem,
find
man. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at ChrisAms1. You'll usually hear me talking about pro wrestling and politics and just bullshit like that. You can find me on the PWC network, obviously, one of the places where you might be listening to this podcast might be the PWC network. And if it is, then just look for my name. I'm on channelattitude.com if you want to pay $5 to hear me talk about professional wrestling. If you don't, just find me on the PWC. You can hear me talk about other professional wrestling. You know, you can always hear me talk about whatever on the podcasts that are up there. So,
hell yeah. Thank you, Chris. We're going to send you off with a nice hip-hop song, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, this is Homeboy 88 with Chris Sams. And have a great one, motherfuckers.
Pasa fuera.
Ready on the left.
Hey, yo, calm down, nigga.
Ready on the right.
Hey, yo, calm down, nigga.
Ready on the left.
Let go, nigga.
Oh, my Lord. Go when the casket down. Sprinkle the ash or get your ass kicked pound. Ground while I sit on your crown. Skip town. Ground zero superior to King Cash Pound. Do I make them say wow? Strip ow. Bow. I sit with the pound. Click bow. Bow. Click, click. Bow. Click, bow. Stop traffic dropping them classics. Flip bow. Bitches, I'm making them skip with thou. Art, you don't really want start when I growl.
Wow, wow, wow.
Let me come and mop up the knockoffs. When I pop off, I never stop, cause when we do come through, you better lock doors.
Pause.
The bulls wanna eat, people, they lock jaws. No need to cook up the coke, you see me cop raw. And if you ain't had enough, what in the fat fish is ever phenomenal? Far from Dugan, fuck is going on. Back with the B.A. The rack is callous, bang on another song. I'ma have these niggas nervous and clipping their nails and dribbling and witness them nibble them like sunflower seed gel. See these scales got my weight up heavy like three wheels, and I shit on these males till the stinking felon and a weed smell. Nigga, your tree fell. See how they Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram and an email. Talking I'm sick, I got them shook, and I bang them at retail until they cripple. See, I cook like I'm slinging a weed sale until I triple bread and whoop them and drag them like females. Oh, see, well, these niggas already know the way that I fuck shit up, minus the details. The case is shut, your bitch remind me of my placement, but kind of an ancient slut. It's going down like she was a basement fuck. Swell up this shit like I'm sticking stakes in their guts so gracefully and graciously.
You're listening to a Homeboy 88 production.
It's kinda like me having a case of the truck and drinking till I'm blasted, a ration.